Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Round three is complete. Body is here. I am here. And again, expect the unexpected. Body, I thought it was a good round. There's some great games. And there's a few guys that would not be sleeping well after that round. Talk to me.
Oh, are we talking Jesse? Because that was unbelievable. And the second the ball left his hand, he knew too. You know, you could just see it on his body language. As the ball left his hand, as he's coming back to the floor, he knows he's missed it. And I've got it. Look, full credit to Trevor Gleeson. What a brilliant play. Like, yeah. how do you get a guy that naked? Like, yeah. That, you know, like, obviously, Creek was looking to double up on Bryce Cotton at the top of the key. And Jesse slipped it. But, it was unfortunate. It's happened to all of us. Not like I've never missed a layup in my life. But, you know, when the world's looking at you and the game's at stake, it was a big one to miss, especially when it's the game where you're equaling Andrew Vlahov's 350 games for the club. You know, it's a big game, and you'll never be able to look back on that without thinking, oh, yeah, that was when that happened.
Yeah, that was such a shame. I felt for him. But you're right. Did you see Sykes, the import, just like look afterwards like, oh, my God. Obviously, he was meant to there was no switch. They were switching because there was a back screen there. So he was obviously meant to stay on Jesse because the way he looked at Mitch Creek to say, I am so sorry, but yeah, they are so lucky. And I felt for Jesse. You know, but hey, he's got six rings. They can keep him warm.
Yeah, he'll be fine. And I wouldn't be too worried about Sykes either, because he was magnificent down the stretch. That drive that he did that drew everybody in, he kicks it out to Kyle Adenham, who makes probably the biggest three of his career. And then the next on the other subsequent play, when he's driven in and he's done that little hesitation and looped the ball over the top of John Mooney. Brilliant, brilliant basketball. And let's not forget the huge shot that Bryce Cotton hit to make it 89-85 when they fouled him on it as well, the big three and then the free throw. You know, it was a fantastic finish, and it was a great finish, and it's one we're going to talk about for a long time and remember for a long time. You know, it's a bit like, for me, when the 36ers lost that semi-final to the Hawks in Wollongong back in 2001. You know, the ball bounces around the ring on those Lowry free throws. Should they have been free throws? You know, was the call right? Was it? Who cares? You remember it. It's a part of folklore now, and that.
I'm sure if you ask Darnell Mee, he'll say no, it wasn't.
Oh yeah, Darnell swear black. It strikes me as funny that they ended up being teammates there, because
that's right. Yeah,
Darnell was so destroyed by that. Yeah. He was destroyed by that. He left the country. He left to play overseas, and then when he came back, he had his subsequent career at the Hawks and in Taipei.
Didn't he go to Cairns? Yeah, he was great up there too. But I mean, Adelaide was his. They were just phenomenal. Let's talk about round three. We had Brisbane start the round, which we spoke about. You remember that was so? Yeah. That was our podcast for our listeners. We'd know, and Brisbane got a win.
Yes. Yeah, and under the circumstances, given that they had Matt Hodgson back into the lineup, and Didi Luzada and Dan Kicker, we still don't know when Dan Kicker's going to be back. So they were
saying a couple of weeks. And I mean, like you said, we did talk about this last week, but you remember we both sat here, didn't we say we were going to go to Adelaide, New Zealand, and we're pretty certain New Zealand are going to win this?
Yeah, a pair of jackasses. We shouldn't call this Brad and Body. We should call it Jackass and Jackass.
Well, Dumb and Dumber. We have no idea and no idea more. I don't know.
Really, I felt that that Adelaide really came of age in that game. Like, that was the first game I've seen where I really thought, oh, you know what? That could be a little bit better than what we expect, because I'm not surprised by Josh Giddey. I'm not surprised by Isaac Humphries. I've always thought that young man was a big talent, and now we're seeing it. But, you know, you got your doubts about the two imports. You got your doubts about Keanu Pinder, who Connor Henry seemed intent on starting. And I don't even think the guy should be getting development player minutes, to be honest. But he started to sort a bit of that out. I'd like to see a bit more action for Jack McVay. I think.
I agree. I mean, Pinder got 20 minutes, mate, 1 of 7 from the field and 2 rebounds. So I'm gonna agree with you on that one. I'll tell you, I do love him though, Sunday Deck. Damn, I love him.
Oh yes, and he's the other one that I really thought the move he made to get out of Perth and go to the Hawks and to get to play, I think he took a substantial step, and it was a good move for him to come to Adelaide. I mean, maybe if he'd known Gorge was coming to the Hawks, he might not have left, but I think he's on a staircase going up, up, up. He's just going to be better and better and better. I thought he did a lot of great things in both of their wins.
What I love is, I remember we spoke at the beginning of the season, and we said we weren't sure about Adelaide because they've got that, you know, we don't know what Humphries is going to do. We know DJ is going to be DJ, right? Yep. There's no question with that. And we like Sunday Deck. We think McVay is going to be good. We're not sure of the imports and everything. Yeah. But it is nice to see they've shown glimpses of what we thought we might see. Do you know what I mean? Like Isaac Humphries has been phenomenal. How funny was that interview where he said, nah, man, it's six blocks, when I think John Casey said to him, mate, you got five blocks? No, it's six. It was just hilarious. And he's just so comfortable in the environment that he's in, and he's really turning it on, isn't he?
Yes, he's the player that we knew he could be, and he's going to be even better. And yeah. I think we need to get used to enjoying him right now, because if he continues on this trajectory, we won't be seeing him.
And an interesting one as well, all eyes will be on Giddy. So they'll also be seeing Humphries because he's playing in the same games. Now, Giddy, obviously, 13, 10 and 8. Wow. You know, this kid's 18. Wow.
Yes, it was a hell of a good performance and a very mature performance.
Yeah,
it was. And you sort of go, well, okay, Donald Sloan, is he sort of superfluous to what they're doing? I was having a conversation with someone this week, and I mentioned it in the blog, that if the 36ers had picked up, say, DJ Newbill and Casey Prather in place of Don Sloan and Tony Crocker, would we be talking about them as championship contenders right now? I think we would.
Yeah. Can I just talk about your blog for a second?
Sure.
Adelaide versus New Zealand. Adelaide, as we know, right? So, Boddy, for all our listeners, we know Boddy is the greatest writer, BOTINAGY.com, his website. And I just want to take you back to his game reviews, and you've got to listen to this. It's brilliant. So this is Boddy, and yes, it's going to take a little bit, but it's a little bit. He's gone here, and he's gone, Daniel Johnson opened Adelaide's previous game with a dunk. This time it was Isaac Humphries' turn to open with a slam, as the 36ers exposed New Zealand's flabby underbelly. Or maybe Lamar Patterson was adjusting his singlet. I'm not sure, in a comfortable home win. So then it goes on, and he says, but Thomas Abercrombie's shooting struggles continue, and Lamar Patterson had his first scoring donut. Not had his first donut, because clearly he has had a few dozen of those. Boddy, boom, boom. That was awesome, mate. Have you had any feedback from that?
I get a bit of feedback on my round summaries, fortunately, I've always found that people in basketball have a sense of humour, and they're not terribly thin-skinned. They can take a joke, especially when it's, I think it's not poorly directed. I mean, Lamar has done the wrong thing by coming in out of shape. He's disrespected himself, his team, and the league. So, you know, it's not like he's not susceptible to a little bit of criticism. And I'd rather do it in a fun way. So
very good. It was very good. Clap for you. Mate, we move on to the Thursday night game. We picked it. Cairns, they're struggling. And they lose another game this round. We'll talk about that. But the Hawks just keep being the Hawks, the Gorgian Hawks.
Yeah, I love that. That Cairns came out and was so intent earliest. I loved the look of them in the first half of the first quarter, even later than that. Well, they were leading 12-6, and with 2 minutes to quarter time, it was 12-8. So they had done a pretty good job. There was even mentioned on the commentary that the defensive effort was phenomenal. And then bang, 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 bang. It's just a 16-zip run, you know, 13 to the end of the quarter. On they go into the next quarter. Once the Hawks hit a couple of shots, they remind me of obviously a couple of Adelaide 36ers teams in the Phil Smythe era, in that back-to-back period where you had Darnell Mee and Kevin Brooks in the import spots, and Brett Maher at the peak of his game, where they could just come and they could just roll out a 16-point, you know, streak and turn a ball game. They could do that in the first quarter, second, third, fourth. It could happen at any time. I'm seeing that with the Hawks. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I agree. The Hawks have just been brilliant. I mean, they're across the floor. Harvey's great. Jessup's great. Frolling. just unbelievable. They're shooting, just so we know, 45% from the field, and I'm going to talk why I'm saying this, 42% from the free throw, from the three-point line. Out of the 79 shots, 28 of those are threes, right? And they made 42%. For Cairns, they shot 75 shots, so four less, right, than the Hawks, but 35 threes and made 10. They shot at 28%. Now, I'm always a believer, you know, you definitely don't want half your shots, but okay, 70 is half. It's bloody close, Boddy, and they're living outside too much for me, and they're not looking good at all, at all. No. Kwot Noi, who I love, 1 of 6. King came off the bench, 1 of 9. Deng, 2 of 10. You know, Krizlovic, 3 of 10. They're just not getting enough from people, mate.
Can I ask you a question, Brad? Do you play social basketball now?
Nah, not anymore. I used to.
Okay. Because when I started playing...
My knees and shoulders.
Well, I'll tell you what I noticed about social basketball. Everyone likes to take three-point shots because nobody wants to go and do any work. So you just, you know, you're old, you're slow, you walk up the floor and you take a three.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
Okay. So now the reason I reference that is because you're old and you're slow and you're not, you don't want to do the work. It's the last bit there that still applies to Cairns. Yeah. Come on, do some work. Move the ball around. Get people into good positions. Work from inside and outside. But when you're just content to take the three, or you're living and dying by the three, well, I'm sorry, but you're dying by it because a lot of them are contested. They're not the three-point shot you want to see taken. I think they're
still bitching about the referees as well, mate. Well,
they were in that game. Yeah, they were, and Machado was one of the worst offenders too, which I was disappointed with. I thought he should have been, you know, rallying the troops. But honestly, Brad, it just shows that it really does show how important DJ Newball was as an on-court composure leader. Yeah, keep him composed, keep him under control.
How many times do you see this? You just see it so many times where clubs have a great year and then the expectation on them is so different the next year that some clubs just can't cope with it, the pressure.
Well, this has been the Cairns story, hasn't it? Two grand final appearances and nothing the year after on both occasions. And this was near enough to a grand final appearance. They took Perth to 3 games. And we're all very excited about what the prospects were. But, yeah, I think they got ahead of themselves. I thought their effort against Brisbane was much better. And that first half, their 55-40 up at halftime, I think, they probably played their best half of basketball for the year. Mm. And then Brisbane has made its adjustments. And Cairns just goes back to being what it has been for the previous 4 or 5 games.
I thought that was the way you said that is perfect. That second half was what we've seen because they won their first game and now they've lost 5 straight, including this one that we're talking about now. So that first half was the time they won a game and the second half was the other 4 or 5. It just, you know, and Cam Oliver got fouled out very early. So that really hurt them. But he had 21 and 8. You know, Machado had 23 and 10. But again...
Machado hit some magnificently huge shots in the overtime.
You know, what about really Kenny? What about a couple of threes from Kenny? He was great coming off the bench.
Yeah. Well, he'd missed a couple and he was overdue. And it was sort of... It was good that he did make them. I felt good for him because he'd blown a couple of opportunities. But they were just... That last quarter... they were kind of rudderless. You know, they didn't really execute very well, and Brisbane just kept coming and coming. Nathan Sobey was all over him.
And Sobey and Law.
Yeah, Sobey Vic Law was terrific.
Great, And, you know, kudos for that out-of-bounds play as well. You know, that was another good play that they ran.
Yes.
To get the win.
But, you know, what was the best part about it for me was that Law basically... hung on with the ball a little bit, just checked out his man a little bit, dribbled it here a little, and now it's time to go. Like, he really played the clock perfectly. It wasn't just a well-run play. It was a well-run play in terms of execution, but also in terms of not leaving them anything. Basically, they could just inbound the ball and heave at the length of the floor. That's all he left them. That was a really, really smart, experienced player. And he was good.
He took 23 shots and 7 of those were from the three. Only made 1 3. So I reckon teams will be looking at that and they need to sag off him a little bit until he can start to make some. But he was 10 of 10 from the free throw line with 11 rebounds. So that tells me he is attacking.
Yeah, but he was In the other game against Sydney, he was 11 of 15 from the floor and 2 of 2 from 3-point line.
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried about him. He's definitely a class import, and I gave him the player of the week at my website because I just, when you score a winning basket, you know, and you've got numbers that are like 28 points he averaged over the weekend at 53%, 10 rebounds. Pretty good performance, really. Yeah. Five blocks he had against the Kings.
He's great. We spoke about Perth and Southeast Melbourne, so I'm just mentioning that because that was another game that was in the round. Then we go after the Bullets Cairns game, which was a ripper. Then it was Adelaide versus the Kings, and Adelaide again, same crew, pretty much just doing what they do. Humphreys was just phenomenal, and you knew he wanted to come out and do that against his old team.
Oh, of course.
27-9.
One of two things happen when you play your old team. You either have a brilliant game, as he did, or you stink it up because you're trying too hard. So it's one of the two, and he got it right. He was fantastic.
Can I tell you a quick story about going? Sure. I only played for one club in my whole career, so I never had that, you know, going to back to your old venue, so I can't do it. But I remember poor Aaron Trehair when he came over from Perth, right? So it was a big thing when he came because, you know, Shane Heal had just gone to the NBA. Who's going to be his replacement? And we got this kid that's the next, you know, gun of Australian sport, right? And he's, you know, hit a three on the buzzer to win a gold medal, all that stuff, get us in the finals, whatever. So he came in and we went back to Perth, right? And every time he touched the ball, I'm not saying they, like, not sometimes, every time he touched the ball, I've never heard the crowd go crazy. And what they did is they stood until they and clapped until we scored, right? And every time Aaron touched the ball, it was just going nuts. So I'm telling you, we're playing. It's like 11-0. And at the six-minute mark, they do a TV timeout back then, right? So we haven't scored for 6 minutes because it's 12-minute games then, right? Geez. We go into the timeout. As we're coming out of the timeout, the side guy who's got the microphone, he had to get the crowd back up to start clapping again because we hadn't scored. So they are clapping and they kept going. I don't even know when we scored and I can't remember. But poor Azza, mate, he would have gone like 1 or 2 for 15 or whatever. It was just one of those games. So you know how you said one or the other?
It's one or the other.
I just felt so sorry for him. But that was a terrible game. But Isaac Humphreys, man, that was opposite.
Yes, he was terrific. And his combination now with Josh Giddey and also with Sunday as well, they've got a pretty good combination going too, is terrific. They're the, I've dubbed them the Aussie version of the Scott Machado, Cam Oliver. You know, when Scott drives and Cam goes down the middle, he lobs it in, Cam throws it down. Well, Josh Giddey and Isaac Humphreys have got that going too. So, yeah, that was fun to watch. But credit to Sydney, they're very depleted. Dijan Vasiljevic was terrific.
Brilliant.
They fell into a massive hole. The Sixers were playing good basketball, but they just kept plugging away and kept coming back. And Casper had a little patch there where he did a couple of good things, a three, a steal. And Sean Bruce, who I haven't been dazzled by this season, I must confess, he did a couple of nice things. And they got themselves back to within 3 points in that last quarter. And I think there were a few people tightening up in Adelaide. But, you know, Sunday Dick stood up. He made a couple of big plays.
Which was the one he dived on the floor and got the ball at the end? Was that that game or the other one? Because that was just, defense was brilliant.
Look, I can't remember, but he's been doing that all season. That's what I'm saying earlier when we were talking about it earlier, that I think his moves from Perth to the Hawks and now to the 36ers have all been very positive and continue to take the steps up. What I'm seeing in him, in his development, is what I have not seen in a Clint Steindl, a Ruben Tarangi, a Cam Glidden, and even, though I hate to say it, a Todd Blanchfield. They've sort
you know
of
what? That's a great point you make. You know what the difference between those guys and Sunday is? Sunday gets his energy from defense.
Yeah. Good
that's,
point.
That's if because I remember when I was playing, like I was more of a defender than a scorer, right? Because that's just the way it was. And then my coach always used to say to me, just get your defense right. Your offense will take care of itself.
Yes.
And, you know, just go hard, play hard, and then don't worry about the offensive end. And then your offensive end just takes care of itself. So, yeah, that's a really good analogy that you picked up there where about those players. And Sunday gets his energy from D, no doubt.
Yep. Yep. So I'm liking Adelaide at the moment. I think they're coming along, they're definitely in the mix to make the playoffs right at the minute. And yet, after that first game against United, you know, we would have said, well, last place looks like the most likely destination for Adelaide. And then we felt that way against Brisbane, and then we felt that way against Phoenix. And so it's all over the shop. You know, we haven't had a good enough look yet at Perth or New Zealand.
What have we known every year? I know the slogan this year is expect the unexpected, but we've seen it all before. And I keep harping on it. Perth were last a couple of years ago and they brought in Bryce Cotton and won it. So, I mean, there's just anything can happen. Southeast Melbourne lost in Perth a couple of nights previous. They then went at Bendigo, which I thought looked great, buddy. The crowd, everything was great.
And
they played United. I think, to me, Phoenix threw everything they could, but United were just too good in the end.
Yeah, they were, but I felt for Phoenix because I thought they were a little bit running on empty. You know, they have had a pretty tough schedule comparatively to what Melbourne has experienced. And so for them to take that to a six-point game, I know you don't come away with a W, but you do come away with a fair amount of self-respect and thinking, yeah, we can handle these guys if we can have even, you know, an even situation. I don't think it was truly even. I really thought Jack White was sensational in the first half for United. And then Landale and Goulding got going, and yeah, you're going to have trouble beating them.
Yeah.
Week three, Scotty Hobson. How's he travelling?
Yeah, no, not good, mate. Scotty Hobson, he played 23 minutes, and he had a Lamar Patterson, a donut. Sorry, I had to use your slogan there, mate.
He just didn't have one in game.
Yeah, he had 0-8 from the field. 2 threes he's missed out of that 0-8, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, okay, but in 23 and a bit minutes. The key thing there is 23 minutes. That's not a lot of minutes for your import.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't like Dean Vickerman's rotations at the minute, to be honest. I think he's playing too many players. He's got a lot of talent at his disposal, and then the tendency is to try and get everybody in because, this guy's too good to be sitting. I've got to get him in.
What does this sound like to you, buddy? Southside Flyers. You were saying that during the season. Sometimes you can have too much talent.
Yeah, yep. And I mean, and how prohibitive were they as favourites, the Flyers, for the WNBL, as prohibitive as United were? People were saying they're going to go through undefeated, for crying out loud. So if there's that much talent on the team, then someone's going to suffer. And Hobson right now probably needs to play a lot of minutes to get his confidence back. But they can't afford that because they've got too many studs sitting on the bench saying, well, you know, is it my turn?
Yeah.
So there might be some problems brewing there. But you know, we just talked about it a second ago, talking about Sunday. His offense comes from his defense because he works at that end. And I think Scotty Hobson's got to take his focus away, you know, don't be so emotionally connected to needing to score 30 and get back to just being a good basketball player. Do other things. Get rebounds. Set screens. Good. Make an assist to somebody. Oh, there's a putback for you. Oh, now you feel good about yourself. Oh, you got fouled. Now you got 2 free throws. And you're starting to work yourself back in. I don't think he's doing that.
Yeah, it's a good point. Well, our top four at the moment is the Hawks, Melbourne, Adelaide and Perth. Perth being 1-1. Illawarra, or the Hawks, sorry, I'll get that wrong all year.
No, you won't, because on the official table on the website, they've got them as Illawarra.
Yeah, do they?
Yeah, okay,
so the Hawks and Melbourne, they haven't lost a game, and everyone else is very close. The one that's the standout down the bottom at the moment, I know New Zealand haven't won a game, so they'll be last on the ladder, but Cairns are 1-5. You know, they've played the same amount as Adelaide, as the most games. And not only that, 1-5, 5 of those are at home. So that's 5 less games you get later on at home.
Yeah.
So, and that's usually a fortress for them, and it's not. So huge. We move on to round 4, buddy. And there's some ripper games on. Before we go on there, what was the final wrap that you think of round 3? Was there anything that stood out for you, or
only the steady demise of the Taipans? I think they've dug themselves quite the hole, and they showed in the first half against Brisbane how they could play, but then they could not maintain the discipline against changing tactics, against a zone defense that Brisbane threw at them and other things that Brisbane threw, that they couldn't sustain their discipline, and they went back to this new version of themselves, which is a losing team. So I think they're going to be hard-pressed to make it They need to change real quick.
It's a good point. Let's. I'm with you though. Five losses is a lot when there's a lot more games to go and everyone's going to this hub soon. Let's just talk about round four before we get into the games though, because there's some games impacted. The Perth Wildcats, obviously, everyone would know, and I assume from the fact that WA has been locked down. I think I'm using the right words because of the COVID outbreak for 5 days. Perth Wildcats have been evacuated, if that's the right words. They've moved, as other teams had to do. Sydney has done, well, Sydney and Illawarra have pretty much done it the whole time. New Zealand are living in Melbourne. So Perth, now, Boddy, you thought they might be in Melbourne, is that right?
I think I read that somewhere that they were going to be in Melbourne for eight weeks.
So Perth and New Zealand were meant to play. That game's been postponed. The game that was on Thursday night, which was Brisbane and Melbourne, has now been moved to Friday night. And then I'll talk the rest of the games. Now, because they're playing on Friday night, the Bullets, my understanding is the Saturday night Cairns and Bullets is now no go. And Cairns are going to be playing New Zealand, who are obviously not playing Perth. So it's all over the shop. I don't mind it. The NBL are just rolling with the punches. Yeah, we're in this vicious world of COVID, and I don't mind it. So, and I think you agree. Yes, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to think on your feet. You got to be prepared to move quickly. Things are going to change and could change dramatically at any time. So I think all the teams are prepared for that. I think the NBL is being prudent. Yeah, no problem.
I agree. Okay, Brisbane, Melbourne. Who wins that on Friday night?
This is in Brisbane or is
this
it?
This is in Brisbane. Yes, Brisbane. Nissan Arena.
No, I think Melbourne. I think Melbourne.
Yeah, I'm going with you as well. I think Brisbane are playing good basketball. Melbourne have just got too many stars. I'm going to go straight to that, what we think is going to happen, Cairns versus New Zealand now. Instead of being on Monday, we'll go to Saturday. Who do you think is going to win that one?
Where's that one going to be? Is that?
Well, that'll be Cairns. They're going back home.
Wow.
Yeah, well, New Zealand, obviously, against New Zealand. So.
Because I'm just wondering where New Zealand's
home. And remembering, New Zealand have not won a game.
Yeah.
So this is a team that are fighting. Both of them.
Yeah, and they've got their grand final history of a couple of championship battles. This is a genuine rivalry that the rest of Australia doesn't pay much attention to, but I think it's big in Cairns. Oh, wow. Gee, that's such a hard one. You take one and I'll take the other. So if you go for Cairns, I'll go for New Zealand.
I was going to go Cairns, and just purely because I'm just thinking Mike Kelly's going to turn this team around eventually. That's all I'm going for.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
No, I agree, you're going to New Zealand. Thank you. We move.
I'm going to stay with New Zealand. I'm not. It's got to happen, but we're saying it's got to happen. But will it? We've been saying this for weeks. It's not like it hasn't been evident.
They might lose me if they lose this one, 1-7 or whatever it is from home. Adelaide and Sydney. I don't see Sydney getting a win on the road. I don't see how Adelaide are just humming at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. I think I think Adam Ford had a lot to be pleased about with the way his team fought that game out, and they'll go into the next game relatively competitively. But I think, again, they're going to fall just a little bit short.
Yeah. Phoenix Hawks Sunday, State Sports Centre in Melbourne. I can't go against the Hawkies, mate.
No, neither can I. But that should be an absolute cracker.
Yeah,
because you've got some very good individual players involved in that one. Some good matchups. Yeah, I'm wondering who Gorge will send Justin Simon after. Will he go after Sykes or will he go after Creek?
I reckon he'll go Creek. Now, this game I assume is going ahead because we assume Perth will be in Melbourne, and it's Melbourne United versus Perth at Bendigo. So I'm going to assume it's going to go ahead this stage. I don't think, even though they've moved, I don't think Perth have to quarantine. So assuming that goes ahead, another win for United for me. Your thoughts?
Yeah, me as well. I think United will get that. I think Perth is going to take a little while to find who it is at the moment. Yeah.
Keep going.
No, I was going to say if they had got out of that, if Wagstaff had made that shot and they'd got out of that, that would have probably papered over that there is some issues there with the combinations and how they're working. It's a similar thing to Cairns, a bit different from Cairns, but Cairns won that first game. And sort of like, okay, they'll be okay. And then they've been terrible since. And that first game only won it by a point. So had they lost that, maybe they would have become aware of their shortcomings or where there were problems earlier. So, I'm expecting United.
Yeah, good point. So that'll round it out. Now, have they announced round five? Is it going to be five rounds on the road or going into the hub? I'm still not 100% sure, and Ryan Five hasn't come out yet. So do you know?
No, I don't know. And to be honest, Mr. Rosen, I would rather hear what your rattler is. Give us your Rosen Rattler. Let's not worry. Let's not speculate. Give me something.
Okay, I'm going to have a little rattle here because I'm getting tired of the way guys are finishing quarters and halves. Now, I'm a big believer if you're, and I'll just give our qualified listeners because they're ballers and they know, let's say I'm up by 2 points, right? And if I've got the ball, right? If I've got the ball and there's 24 seconds left, you should not be giving the opposition the ball no matter what. At the worst case scenario, you should go in up two. Now, I'm seeing teams at the moment that take, number one, a dumb shot, or number two, an early shot, and they give the ball back to the opposition. Mm. I've seen some half-court shots. I've seen some three-point shots. Like, you just don't give the ball back to the opposition. At the worst, you're up two. I've seen teams be up two and go in down one from a Hail Mary. Man, it's just frustrating me, buddy. I don't understand it.
No, I'm with you. Can't argue with that. I've seen some very bad decisions made when there's only like 8 seconds left and you've got the last position. Oh, let's throw a long pass. Oh, someone intercepts it and they get another shot at it.
Yes.
Dumb stuff.
All right, give it to me. What's your nasty?
Oh, look, my nasty is just really about the commentary apologising after they've gone into a timeout. And there's been something said in there that may have been a little bit blue, or there might have been some swearing in there. And then they feel this obligation to apologize to the viewers. I don't think they should apologize to the viewers. I think they should be saying, well, that's the risk we run by having such magnificent access and you being able to actually know what's going on inside that huddle. That's the risk we take. That's all they need to say. But say, oh, look, we're sorry. Well, if you're sorry, don't go into the freaking timeout in the first place. Otherwise, shut up.
You heard it here from Boddy. He told everyone to go and get beep. Boddy, that's the end of round four.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure.
See ya.
Loving working. Listeners, thank you so much. We love all the feedback we're getting. Obviously, check out Boddy's website. It's hilarious. That Dunkin' Donuts one, mate. That was brilliant. Thanks for listeners. Get us on wherever we are on the podcast. You know we're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're everywhere. Guys, have a great week, Boddy. You're the man. See you next week.
Cheers, Brent.